Welcome back to another episode of 5 a.m. Theology. So this week we're in 2 Samuel, still in the life of David, even from last week, but he's king now. The life of David is one of my favorite things to study in scripture. The narratives on David's life are so full of symbolism, and so much of David points us directly to Jesus. This week, like I said, we're in 2 Samuel, which means we're simultaneously in 1 Chronicles, since those books, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles mirror each other, and they reinforce each other in the reigns of the kings. And boy, did a passage jump off the page for me this week, Chris.
I'll read it. It's from 2 Samuel, and the passage is 2 Samuel 6, 12 to 15. And it was told King David, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the Ark of God. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 steps, he sacrificed an ox and a fattened animal. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn. As the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord.
Back in the book of Exodus, God instructed Moses to build the Ark of God, which is also called the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark represented the presence of God with the people. Before the Ark was built, God's presence was with his people, but it was more in a spiritual way. He led them by a cloud of smoke during the day and a pillar of fire by night. But the Ark represented a localized, tangible presence of God amongst his people.
And because the Israelites acted sinfully and misused the Ark, it was captured by the Philistines. David and his men set out to reclaim it, and he does, but he disobeys how to handle the Ark, and a man dies. David was so distressed by this that he left it at the home of another Israelite who lived nearby. He was afraid of God. But then he hears that the man whose house the ark is at is receiving blessings. This alleviates his fear. He has no reason to fear God. He does his homework. He reads God's words on the only proper way to handle the ark, and he gets it and brings the presence of God to the city of David in Bethlehem.
And this rejoicing and dancing and celebrating that we see from King David is the biggest display of rejoicing that we see from him in all of scripture. Even when he kills Goliath or defeats tens of thousands of enemies of Israel or becomes king over all of Israel, none of those things compared to the joy he felt when he brings the Ark of God, the presence of God, to the city of David to be amongst the people of God.
And David knew that God was with him all of the time. He knew that God was the one who gave him all those victories and who anointed him king. He's completely aware of that, and he always gives glory to God. But he's joyful here because the tangible symbol of the presence of God is now dwelling among them. You can't miss that this points to Jesus. The Ark of God, the tabernacle, the temple, all represented the presence of God amongst his people, and all of those things pointed to Jesus. And don't miss God's wonderful irony that the Ark, the presence of God, is brought to Bethlehem, the city of David, the very place where Jesus would be born.
Yeah, I love that. In the Ark, the almighty, magnificent, sovereign king chose to dwell amongst his grumbling, complaining, bickering, and sinful people. Jesus, the almighty, magnificent, sovereign king, chose to bodily dwell amongst his grumbling, complaining, bickering, and sinful people. And just like David learned when he heard that where the ark was, the people or person of God was blessed, we have no need to fear being in the presence of God if we are his. David thought being in the presence of the ark was something to be feared because a man had died because they had not properly handled it. But he realizes that's not true. We don't need to be afraid to be in the presence of God.
The Israelites knew God was everywhere, but the ark, the tabernacle, and later the temple were tangible signs God gave his people that he was with them. Jesus is our sign that God is with us. His name, Emmanuel, means God with us. And we too know that God is everywhere and always with us. But having that tangible sign of Jesus coming to earth and physically dwelling among us and then doing the work to save us so that we can be eternally in the physical presence of God should make us want to break out with joy and dancing and singing.
Yeah, maybe not naked, but definitely we should want to break it out. And Chris, seriously, it should make us look at worship in a whole different light.
Exactly. And it gets even better. Just like the ark gave the Israelites power in battle because it was the presence of God, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, giving us power in our battles over sin and spiritual warfare.
Yeah, the mirror passage to this one is in 1 Chronicles 16. David declares that that day a song of thanksgiving was to be sung to the Lord. And I'll just read some of the words from David's song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous work among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nation, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
You can't read David's words and not feel the joy that's pouring out of him. When you read the entire song, you can almost sense that David can't get the words out fast enough or can't say enough to articulate how much he loves and reveres and worships the Lord. David is truly a man after God's own heart.
David had a lot to be thankful for and rejoice over in his life. God continually blessed him, even when he committed some pretty gross sin. But David's greatest joy, his biggest celebration, so big that he couldn't help himself and danced all around, either naked or with just a loincloth. Scholars are split. And he gave gifts out to the people. That tremendous joy and celebrating was saved solely for the Lord. This celebration wasn't about anything that he had done as a king. It was all about the greatest king, the only true king, the one who would soon come not just symbolically in the Ark of the Covenant or the temple, but actually physically, bodily come to dwell amongst his people.
Like David, may we all find it impossible to contain our joy that our great good God has lowered himself to dwell among his people and continues to live with us every second of every day. May we rejoice and declare the Lord reigns. May we give thanks that our Jesus is good and that his love endures forever.
And that's a good place to end for this morning. Have a blessed morning, everyone.
Yeah.